Now we return the gavel to Senator Hobbins as we pick up Building 1504, an act to require that expedited wind energy development projects provide a tangible benefit to main ratepayers in the form of discounts to future electric rates. And attempts are being made, I am told, Senator, to locate the good Senator Mills, the sponsor.
Thank you very much. Thank you for pitching for Representative Hank and myself, as always, your eloquent and good job for us. We have, I believe, Lucia, maybe you can go over, we had a substitute bill with a new title. I think the new title is an act to provide predictable economic benefits to Maine communities, federals, and power projects. Is that?
Yep, and you had, at your first work session on the bill a week ago, there was discussion of the substitute amendment that had been presented, and various stakeholders involved in the process were asked to continue their work, and Pete Dittersheim of NRCM was designated as sort of the clearinghouse for that work to further refine the provisions in the substitute amendment. But the basic gist of that amendment is to specify community benefit agreements that wind power developers will be required to have with host communities, and sort of the nature and levels of those, the payments under those agreements, provide some more specificity in the statutes regarding tangible benefits and the documentation of those benefits. So that was where it was left last Tuesday, was sort of a charge to the stakeholders to work together. They've been working, it's my understanding, they've been working and had a meeting last Friday, and various comments. They've been working also on comments, you know, reviewing drafts by email. I have seen various iterations of the draft and provided my input from a technical drafting perspective up until today. So I think they're making a lot of progress, and they can speak to sort of where they are in terms of final amendment.
Thank you very much, as the end for my discussions earlier today. But I'm led to believe, in good faith, that we are making progress, and hopefully we'll have some consensus on either all or some of the bill itself, the redraft the bill. If you have anything to add, I appreciate your taking the lead on this. It's very helpful to us, and you've done a good job so far. Maybe give us a little overview if you want to. How much time you think you need to finish up?
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman. We've come a long way in the last week, and we're not quite there. I think we will be there by next Tuesday. So if we were permitted to have an extension until Tuesday, I think we would be able to. Our goal would be to deliver something that has the full support of the interested stakeholders and has been fully vetted through the agencies and from the wind community, the conservation community, and other interested parties. So I think we're probably 70 or 80% of the way there. And Lucia has provided excellent comments, drafting comments, on three different passes of the language. So we're getting pretty close, but there's still a few issues. So rather than present it still in its current form, we'd like to bring it to you when we can walk through it carefully and describe exactly what we're interested in.
Well, thank you very much. That's very encouraging. Any questions, Representative Van Wien?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I look forward to seeing what you guys have. And I'm going to throw out a thought that hopefully won't cause people to wet their pants or set you back to zero or whatever. But I've been thinking about this and going back to Senator Mills's discussion about how do we capture value of these turbines. It goes to the infrastructure issue of building large wind farms in Maine and having the power being sold out of state. It goes to a number of issues that we've talked about here. And also just the concerns that we've heard from three or four recently from opponents of wind power and other issues. And it goes to our budget situation. So, and for the sake of discussion, whether it gets folded into this or not, I'd like to talk to people going forward and have you folks think about whether part of this should include a wind production tax for large projects. And I know Representative Martin has tried to figure out how to do this, but we keep coming back to the fact that wind has a zero price, it goes into the bid stack, they get paid at the market clearing price. And a lot of that value, a lot of that savings is not captured by the consumer necessarily, except for the larger market. And I think you all know that I'm a huge supporter of wind power. But I got to say, my observation is some of these large projects over X megawatt hours are getting other incentives, federal incentives, other things like that. But I think it may be that we should be thinking about ways that we, and as we've talked about this, do you do it through a benefit agreement where it's sort of a local tax or not, or whether it's done at the county level or done at the state level? So just my thinking out loud, I've been thinking about this just for the last couple of days, would be, what if we had a production tax that went to the general on large projects over, say, 25 megawatts, over, say, so many millions of megawatt hours or megawatt hours. So I just put that out there as food for thought. I know it may be seen as heresy, but it
the
also...
The room's not shaking anyway.
What?
The room's not shaking.
No.
We had a few coughs from the audience for this.
So,
they don't look fatal.
So I just throw that out there because, you know, we need to really think hard about this market. We're trying to balance large versus small. We did our community energy to try to capture value at the small end. And I wouldn't want to discourage any of that. But I'm also interested in capturing some of the value and impact to the main ratepayer, to the main citizens. Some of them had legitimate concerns. We're having a hard time capturing it at the local level and spending at the local level. We can't figure out how to do it maybe at the county level. Maybe the appropriate way to do it is at the state level in some way. Enough said. Just trying to keep an open mind.
I don't know whether you want to even give a crack at that or just keep button it and think about it.
The topic was discussed to some extent in the Taxation Committee last session around a bill introduced by Senator Kevin Ray. And I brought into that discussion an analysis of all the ways across the country that states are capturing value from wind power projects, including property tax exemptions with an excise tax or a payment in lieu of taxes approach to revenue sharing approaches, host community agreements, general property tax approaches. There were some very strong concerns. At the conceptual level, people think that, you know, has some merit. But because it's based on production, and so it would go up and down with how much you're producing, there's quite a bit of concern, as you can imagine, about that potentially being siphoned off into other areas if it is collected by the state, and the host community not being fairly compensated for their agreement to and support for the placement of a turbine, you know, a set of turbines in their community. And I'd have to say that the pushback was quite strong from a number of different sectors, including from some of the developers. So we have explored it to some extent within the building, but it didn't get a lot of traction. What we have settled on through this approach is a way to capture value at the local level so that the host community really does have the opportunity to have tangible benefits associated with the support that they will be providing for decades and decades of a wind farm in their midst.
Yeah, I mean, we're essentially coming at some of the same questions from a different angle.
Yeah.
And And that's why, you know, it wasn't even occurring to me for a while. And then I suddenly said, well, you could do this at a state level, have it go to the general fund or to a trust or something, and then have some revenue sharing mechanism built in that directs it back down there. But if we're going to see, you know, if what people, especially the opponents, think is we're going to have thousands of these things all over the place, you know, Montana captures severance tax versus coal. We've had the same proposal about taxing bottled water because we want to get value from our resource. At some point, you have to say, okay, we've been incentivizing this. It's going great. How do we capture some of that value back? And so I just, again, being a proponent, it would be great if we could get to the level where it was so profitable that we're now trying to figure out how to get some of that value back for the Maine citizens. And maybe we're not that far away. Mm-hmm.
Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pete, can you tell me whether there was any conversation in your working group about one issue that I did bring up at that long public hearing, which was making sure we're on the right side of the fence in terms of surrendering the power of taxation. The Constitution expressly forbids the legislature from surrendering in any respect the powers of taxation. When TIFs were new, tax increment finance districts, they had to get over this fence also, and it went to court. In the case of communities that were willing to give up the only tax the Constitution allows them to assess, property tax, in exchange for certain other favors from, say, a large utility or whatever that was building in their community, they would set aside the property tax and get some other things that were part of a deal worked out between the community and the building entity. What happened there was that those who didn't like the idea at all, maybe didn't like the deal, would say the community has exceeded its powers here because the assessments they are drawing down out of this building entity amount to taxes, and that's illegal under the Constitution. Now, there was a way, finally, we got that onto the right side of the fence in terms of tax increment financing. And here, I just want to make sure, since this is not TIF, it isn't called one, that we are still on the right side of the fence. And better that we talk about it now among those who might agree to make it work, rather than be called upon it later by those who'd like to destroy the entire construct. Because, again, a community is being asked to give up something and asking to assess something to make up for that. You just have to make sure that what they're assessing isn't regarded as a tax, because there's nothing in law that now allows them necessarily to do that taxing. So, long way around the barn, but that's the barn. We're going to have to recognize the barn is there. Was there any conversation about that or checking into it? If not, probably should be done.
We've done a little bit of the due diligence, and I think I might should make sure that we've done all that can be done. The Maine statute does currently include the concept of a host community agreement for solid waste facilities. It's quite comparable. You cannot proceed with a solid waste facility in a community without reaching a host community agreement of some form. And I don't believe that the way this is structured, it can be considered a tax, as Senator Miller's sponsor described. This is in the discussion. Revealed, there's quite a number of more mitigation payments within statute and within the management of resources in the state. And that this is much closer to that concept than a tax.
This is fine. I'm glad to hear this discussion is being held, because you understand they thought they thoroughly solved the issue with TIFs, too,
right,
until somebody came forward to disagree. But I think this is the kind of thinking we need to be clear about, and I'm glad to hear that you did look into it. So as long as you can frame it and explain it to us as a mitigation payment of some kind, perhaps we can explain it and frame it to others the same way. Thank you.
All right.
Well, thank you for making so much progress, and we look forward to working with you. And maybe you can just bring up those comments and maybe run it by the working group again, or Representative MV has articulated it.
We'll run up the flagpole and we'll see what happens.
Run up the flagpole and we'll go from there.
Yeah. We appreciate the additional time.
Thank you very much. Lucia, what else do you have?
I believe that's it for today.